Chapter 13. The Zenkari woman and I reached the edge of the fields, with the night elf guards and their leader, Janaeus, searching the area behind us. My ears were still ringing from the sound of my rifle fire in the closed cavern, and Amrilla and I had to shout to hear one another. I could also hear the muffled shouts from the soldiers behind us, but their words were lost in the sharp, incessant buzzing in my ears. The Zenkari woman led me further south, and I followed her as we rounded a tumble of boulders from a partial cave-in that must have happened years ago. On the other side of the rocks and debris, there was a cave mouth I'd never seen before. The natural tunnels on the other side of the opening were the most confusing networks of twists and turns I had come across in the gloom, but the horned woman moved confidently through them and seemed like she knew where she was going. We continued to run until my heart was threatening to burst out of my chest, and every breath ripped my lungs apart. Amrilla also seemed to be breathing really heavily, and she soon led the way into a small, closed cavern where we caught our breaths. The ringing in my ears was starting to subside, and I looked around the small cave to see a stack of crates in one corner and a small spring gurgling in the other.
"Get a drink, partner."
The red-skinned woman knelt by the spring and cupped her hands to drink from the spring. So I knelt down next to her, got out my canteen, and refilled it with the clear, cool water. "Where are we?" I asked, as quietly as I could. Gauging the volume of my own voice was still difficult.
"Near the bandit's cave,"
Amrilla replied, but her voice still sounded like it was coming from underwater.
"Not far from the mushroom growth. Janaeus's men will not know these smugglers' tunnels, but there is a chance they will find us anyway. Some of their nictors might be aware of them, but I imagine they're terrified of facing your wrath. You are really something, partner. I thought we were going to die a bunch of times, but you took out so many of them with your rifle. Damn! It was amazing!"
"Thanks." I smiled at her before I took a drink of water. I would have liked to have reloaded my mostly empty AK mag, but digging the ammo out of my backpack and loading bullets in could take time we might not be able to afford right now. If Janaeus didn't know the way through these tunnels, we had a chance of getting far enough ahead of him and his men to get to the iron door before he could find us again.
"I'm honestly surprised they kept coming,"
she continued.
"The rifle is so loud, and you killed them so easily."
"But they are still coming," I said, as I stood up and put my canteen away. "Let's keep moving. I need to get to the western side of the forest and the northern cave before Janaeus can figure out where we are." The black-eyed woman led the way out of the cave, back into the smuggler's tunnels, and we moved cautiously forward while keeping an eye out for any signs of the night elves and their pet nictors.
"What's on the other side of the great forest?"
Amrilla asked, as we slowly made our way toward the bandit's cavern. "The way back to where I'm from," I said vaguely.
"Oh?"
She raised a dark eyebrow, but I just nodded. There were dozens of caves and tunnels I'd seen in the cavern of the Great Forest, and I felt that was safe enough to say. Amrilla had fought alongside me when she could have run and saved herself at any time, so I felt I could trust her. But there was a wildness to the Zenkari woman, and the fact most of the people we had encountered in the village didn't seem to trust her made me wonder whether or not I should. Part of that could be the general sense of racial prejudice that seemed to pervade the gloom. None of the groups I'd come across seemed to trust the others, and the Zenkari were apparently the least accepted, aside from maybe the Nictors. But that seemed to be a symptom of their old-world culture to me. People were people, and no group was a monolith. Ipseth was the sweetest person I'd ever met, but her brother and his lapdog, Janaeus, were assholes, hell-bent on dominating everyone around them. Grok, the tavern keeper, had been nothing like the brutal orcs I'd fought, so I felt I should trust Imrilla based on my experiences with her, and not rely on the reactions of others who were clearly influenced by a cultural bias. The horned woman and I finally came out into the caverns again, and the area felt sort of familiar. Imrilla had said this was called the Bandit's Cavern, and I estimated it was the same place where I'd found the orc encampment. If we continued southwest through this cavern, it would lead to the tunnels that let out near the Mushroom Forest. Then a couple hours' walk north would take us to the Great Forest, and the Iron Door lay not far beyond. Knowing where I was helped to calm the adrenaline still pumping through my veins, but it was still a long way from here to the surface, and there was a group of bloodthirsty night elves hunting for us.
"If we stick to the north wall,"
Imrilla said as we walked,
"we should be able to avoid any of the bandits who live in these caves."
"Okay," I said, as we started along a thin ledge that overlooked one of the deep chasms that marked this area. "I trust you, partner. Lead the way." The horned woman glanced back at me when I said this, and there was a look of surprise on her beautiful face, as if that was the last thing she'd expected to hear. She quickly composed her expression and nodded, and I followed her along the ledge to safer ground on the other side of the bandit's cavern. We eventually found the tunnel I recognized and kept moving, but I was getting worried since we hadn't yet seen the elf guard. There was no way they would have given up already. Were they planning an ambush? "Shouldn't we have seen some of the soldiers by now?" I asked as we started into another long series of tunnels, and I kind of wondered if I should have spent some time reloading my mostly empty mag.
"They could be lost in the smugglers' tunnels,"
Imrilla replied.
"They go on for miles in some places. If you don't know how to navigate them, you could easily get lost for days."
"I don't think they'd go very deep into those tunnels if they don't know the way out," I thought out loud. "That seems like it would be one of the first things someone who lives down here would learn as a kid."
"That's true,"
Imrilla said with a speculative look.
"What do you mean by down here?"
I paused, and I knew the next thing I wanted to say was a big leap of trust. "I'm a human from the surface world." Imrilla stopped in her tracks and stared at me for a moment before she laughed.
"That is very funny, partner,"
she said after her throaty laughter had subsided.
"But this is hardly a time for jokes."
"No," I replied with a serious expression. "It's the truth."
"That can't be true,"
Imrilla scoffed as she started forward again.
"The way to the surface was sealed thousands of years ago by the lost tribe of dwarves, back when the dwarves had tribes. Every child knows this."
Tunnel opened out into the far edge of the mushroom forest, where the glowing mushrooms of the gloom grew to knee height, but I could see the massive fungi of the heart of the forest in the distance. "You don't have to believe me," I grinned, "but I can show you if you'd like."
"Of course,"
the red-skinned woman snickered.
"And I have a Yanim manor house for sale if you're interested."
We moved deeper into the mushroom growth, and even though we still hadn't encountered any night elf patrols or flying nyctors, I still didn't let my guard down. But eventually, we had to stop for a proper rest, and this seemed to be as good a place as any. The huge mushrooms provided cover from both foot patrols and the potential for a Nyctor flyover, so Imrilla and I sheltered under the cap of one of the 12-foot-tall fungi, and I pulled out the jerky and trail mix from my pack. "Would you like some?" I asked, as I offered the horned woman some of my rations. Imrilla eyed the colorful package of jerky somewhat suspiciously, but then she reached in and took a large piece. It took her a minute to bite through it, even with her sharp teeth. But then her face brightened as she worked the chewy meat around in her mouth.
Mmm,
she moaned.
What kind of meat is this?
Beef, I think, I replied, as I looked at the back of the package.
Beef?
The black-eyed woman repeated. It's a big cattle animal, I chuckled. Like those shaggy horned animals they keep back at the village.
A dresh?
Amrilla snorted.
I almost would believe you're from the world above. You don't know anything.
I'm learning, I shrugged. Tell me about the gloom. We couldn't really talk freely at the tavern. Why do the other tribes let Ursinger keep going if they think he's going to make a grab for power? Why not nip it in the bud before it becomes a problem?
The Night Elves live for their traditions.
Amrilla sighed as she took another bite of jerky and leaned back against the giant mushroom.
Oh, they have all sorts of treaties with one another that are supposed to keep the balance. They wouldn't move against Ursinger unless he directly breaks one of them.
So, why don't the other races rise up against the Night Elves if they're unhappy? I asked. It seems like all of you together would outnumber them. They could have the best fighting force in the gloom, but sheer numbers would win out in the end.
The losses would be great, though,
the horned woman said with a shrug of her slender shoulders.
It might be worth it to live free of elven rule, but not everyone feels that way.
What about you? I asked, as I also leaned back against the leathery mushroom. Tell me about yourself.
There isn't much to tell,
the red-skinned beauty said with another shrug.
I go where I want and do what I want. I survive by hunting animals and selling their meat and hides in the villages, or stealing when there's something worth taking.
So, you're a bandit, I grinned.
Not exactly,
Amrilla laughed.
I'm an opportunist. I don't have to hurt people to take what I want. When things heat up too much for me in one tribal territory, I move on to the next. And I only steal from those who can afford to lose something. I never take from common folk.
Like Robin Hood, I joked.
Who?
Never mind, I said, as I opened the trail mix. What about this group you and Grok are a part of? What's that about?
We don't really fucking do anything,
the horned woman scoffed.
Mostly just gather information and share it amongst ourselves. But information is only a rumor, unless you're brave enough to find the evidence that proves it.
That's fair, I agreed, as I offered the black-eyed woman some trail mix. But how do you prove someone's a tyrant before they take over everything?
You don't,
Amrilla replied, as she took a handful of nuts and chocolate pieces.
But proving someone's a heretic is much easier.
A heretic? I asked with a raised eyebrow as I pulled out a box of ammo and started to reload my magazines.
There is reason to believe Ursinger has made a pact with a demon,
the red-skinned woman said as she popped some of the trail mix in her mouth, and then her dark eyes glinted with pleasure as she licked some chocolate off her lower lip.
This is excellent. You could make a fortune selling it.
I'll consider it, I smirked. But why do you think Ursinger has made a deal with a demon? What would that even mean?
If it were one of the demon lords of legend,
Amrilla replied as she took another handful of the trail mix,
then it would mean he broke the treaties, and it would take all of the gloom rising against his unholy power to stop him. But I don't believe in legends, so more likely, it would mean Ursinger has powerful friends in the Twilight region and possibly an army of horrors at his disposal.
That's terrifying, I said, as I imagined that lunatic with an army, and I could feel the blood draining from my face.
It is indeed,
Amrilla agreed with a nod. A sudden squeal broke the restful moment, and the black-eyed woman and I both sat up and looked around. There was more panicked squealing as a group of the small wild pigs ran past while weaving their way through the mushroom forest at full speed. Amrilla and I both stood and watched the herd as they scampered past. "What the fuck is going on?" I demanded over the squealing. My heart was already racing from being startled, and I knew this wasn't a good sign.
"Something must be chasing them,"
the horned woman said, and her voice was an octave higher than normal.
"Fuck! Get out your weapon!"
"What is it?" I was shaken by the fear in the fierce woman's voice, but I didn't have to wait to see what it was. A monstrous, smooth-bodied black spider crawled onto one of the huge mushrooms several yards away. It had to be 15 feet long, and its massive fangs clicked together as its multifaceted eyes looked for the herd of wild pigs and settled on us. My blood froze, and I stared at the impossibly large spider as it made a weird chittering sound and looked down at us. The thing's bulbous abdomen stuck up behind it, and its long, spiny legs clutched at the sides of the mushroom it sat on as the fungus swayed under its weight. "Fuck that!" I shouted, and I quickly scooped my ammo back into my backpack, but didn't bother with the jerky or trail mix. Then I grabbed Amrilla's arm and began to run north toward the great forest and the safety of the surface. We made it only a few feet before the horrific monster jumped high into the air and landed right in front of us, and it crushed two of the huge glowing mushrooms as it landed. My stomach churned with adrenaline and fear as the ugly spider crouched on its ungodly legs, and suddenly I was staring right in its ugly face. I could see a thick, viscous liquid dripping from the thing's fangs just 10 feet away, and it spat something from its terrible maw that missed me by inches to land sizzling on the ground just behind me. "Jesus Christ!" I gasped, as I saw the yellowish liquid burn a small hole in the ground.
"Rifle it!"
Amrilla almost screamed. I reached behind me for my rifle, but the spider took a swipe at the horned woman and me with one of its shiny black front legs, and we had to dodge out of the way. Then Amrilla pulled out her swords and struck out at the spider's leg, cutting a deep, clean gash into it. The giant spider made a high-pitched keen as it pulled back its leg, and I seized the opportunity to swing my rifle around and fire at its massive body. The rain of bullets pierced the hard carapace, and there was a spurt of dark ichor where I hit the thing. The beast shrieked again, and then it lunged forward with its fangs clicking as it tried to bite me. I quickly stepped to the side to get out of the way, and the red-skinned woman plunged her sword into the side of its head. But she must not have hit anything vital, because the giant spider pulled its head away, and more of the sickly ichor covered the horned woman's sword. "Get away from it!" I shouted as I raised my AK again. And once Amrilla dove out of the way, I squeezed the trigger again and again while aiming at the monster's wretched face and eyes. Bullets ripped through the spider as one of its eyes burst into a mess of gore and thick black juices. I didn't think spiders had vocal cords, but this monster's screams were ear-splitting as it raised up on its long legs, and I continued to fire at the thing's underbelly. Bits of carapace and ichor flew everywhere, but then the giant spider's body stiffened and went rigid before it fell to the ground with a rumbling crash. Amrilla and I stood there panting and staring at the huge dead spider, and its legs curled up around its shiny black body as a pool of the dark liquid spread out along the ground from the thing's wounds. My heart was still pounding against my ribs when I heard Amrilla's throaty laugh, and I glanced over at the fierce woman.
"You're amazing! You killed a dread spider!"
The horned woman's look of relief and the wide grin on her beautiful face made the knot in the pit of my stomach loosen, and I also began to laugh. Of all the things I'd seen in the gloom, this had been the most frightening. But the giant spider was dead, and the danger had passed, for the moment. Amrilla began to wipe the thick, black ichor off her sword on the stem of one of the huge mushrooms, and I looked back at the spider. A small movement under the thing's abdomen caught my attention, and I stopped laughing as I watched it curiously. "What's that?" I asked, with a sinking feeling.
"What?"
Amrilla replied, as she looked up from trying to clean the greasy substance from her sword. "What the fuck is that?" I pointed, as a new horror dawned. The spider's abdomen began to roil and distend in places, as if something was trying to get out.
"Shit!"
the red-skinned woman swore as her face went pale.
"Run!"
As Amrilla and I began to run, the giant spider's abdomen burst open and rained down black liquid and pale yellow spiders, the size of large dogs, in all directions. The smaller spiders hit the ground and struggled to right themselves for a moment, but then they began to run in all directions before their instincts kicked in and homed in on the Zenkari woman and me. Then they began to spit their acid-like venom at us like super soakers. The black-eyed woman and I wove in and out around the huge mushrooms to try to get away from the horde of skittering spiders. But everywhere we turned, there were more of them. "This way!" I fired my AK as fast as I could to try and make a path, and I exploded several of the soft-bodied creatures even though I wasn't really aiming. Amrilla swiped at them with a flurry of swords and curses and managed to keep them from overwhelming her. We ran as fast as we could, but as we rounded another one of the mushrooms, we nearly crashed into a cluster of the pale spiders. I fired a round off, but then my AK let out a loud click, and I realized my magazine was empty. "Fuck!" I shouted as I grabbed a fresh mag from my belt, yanked the empty one out, slammed the full one into my weapon as fast as I ever had, and then I reached under and around the weapon to release the bolt before I put the empty mag back in my belt. I did the whole reload in like 2 seconds, and then I fired a spray into the mass of 8-legged fucks to clear the way. The spiders burst and popped, which covered our surroundings in their greasy black guts. And I couldn't help but smile a bit, as I realized I was getting pretty decent at shooting.
"Come on!"
Amrilla yelled as she vaulted over the corpses and kept going. We reached out of the tunnels and ran blindly into the depths. Occasionally, I would fire behind us to discourage pursuit, but they just kept coming. So Amrilla and I turned down tunnels and side passages at random, and I just prayed we'd be able to find our way out again. The glowing mushrooms began to become more sparse, and the tunnel grew darker. My stomach churned at the idea of having to run through complete darkness from a horde of dog-sized spiders that spat acid, but then we came out into a small cavern, and Amrilla stopped. "What are you doing?" I shouted over the ringing in my ears from the rifle fire. I really needed to buy a pair of those nicer noise-canceling earbuds so I could hear her talk and also cut out the noise of the bullets. The horned woman didn't stop to answer. She just walked right up to the mouth of the tunnel we just left. Then she started to speak in a guttural language I didn't understand, and her voice grew unnaturally louder. The sound grew until the cave floor began to shake as Amrilla's voice reverberated off the walls, and small rocks and streams of dust started to dislodge from the ceiling and walls. "What the fuck?" I hollered, and I began to worry there would be a cave-in. Amrilla continued to speak in the dark, unholy language down the mouth of the tunnels, and I saw the swarm of spiders as they began to make their way down the tunnel toward us. Just as I was about to pull the horned woman away, large rocks began to fall down inside the tunnel, and they crushed some of the pale spiders. As Amrilla's voice reached a crescendo, the walls of the tunnel gave way, and larger boulders began to fall and crash to the ground in the cave we were standing in. The tunnel caved in as the first few spiders came through, and the Zenkari woman quickly dispatched them with a flurry of her swords as she stopped her terrible recitation. Then Amrilla fell to the ground, so I ran to her, and as I put my arm around her, I saw the horned woman was breathing heavily. "How'd you do that?" I shouted over the buzzing in my head.
"Magic,"
the red-skinned woman shouted back with a weak smile.
"It takes a lot out of a girl, though."
I pulled the canteen out of my backpack and let the black-eyed woman take a long drink. As Amrilla recovered, I searched the cave for a way out. There was a small crevice in the wall that seemed to lead somewhere, but I had to clear it of fallen rocks so we could squeeze through. It was back-breaking work, but I didn't see any other way out, so I kept going. After a while, Amrilla had recovered enough from her efforts to help, but by the time the path was cleared enough for us to get through, we were both drenched in sweat. I was bone-tired and wished I could just be in bed, wrapped in my wife's arms. As I thought about Ibseth, I knew she'd be worried as hell by now. I looked at my phone, but I realized I'd kept Google Maps and Wi-Fi on, and the battery must have died some time ago because it was looking for a connection. So I had no way of knowing what time it was.
"What's that?"
Amrilla asked, as she panted and held a stitch in her side, but her black eyes were locked on my phone. "Might as well be a brick right now," I replied, as I put my phone back in my pocket. "Do you have any idea where we are right now?"
"No clue,"
the horned woman said as she looked through the crevice.
"Maybe somewhere between the falls and the great forest?"
"All right," I said, as I resigned myself to crawling through the dark opening in front of me. "I'll go first. If I can fit through, then you should be good." The backpack and AK made squeezing through the opening difficult, but leaving them behind would only be a last resort, since I was still very aware of the fact that Janaeus was probably still searching the gloom for us. Once I was through the opening of the crevice, I had to pull myself up onto a rock shelf, and there wasn't enough room for me to even kneel, so I crawled forward on my stomach. Even with my ringing ears, I could hear Amrilla grunting as she pulled herself up behind me. But then the tight tunnel took a sharp turn, and I was forced to angle my body to get through. I had to convince myself to breathe normally in the claustrophobic space, and I hoped it would open up before long. After crawling on my belly for what felt like ages, the tunnel dipped down, and there was no way for me to turn, so I needed to go ahead first and groped around for handholds to keep from falling down the tunnel. I lowered myself down, and my body was halfway down the hole when my AK caught on something, and the strap pulled uncomfortably against my chest. "Shit!" I barked as I tried to move back, but the angle made it so I had no leverage to use my feet or legs to pull myself back onto the ledge. "Amrilla, I need your help!"
"What's wrong?"
I heard the Zenkari woman's voice from behind me. "Can you see what my rifle is stuck on?" I growled as my arms strained to hold me in place.
"Not really,"
the horned woman said.
"Hold fast, Eddie. I'll try to reach it."
Amrilla's hands felt their way along my legs and across my buttocks, and I could feel her lithe body between my legs as she pushed her way up my backside, looking for the butt on my rifle. The situation might have been sexy, if I wasn't concerned with the possibility of cracking my head open on the hard rocks below.
"I think I have it,"
Amrilla gasped in the restrictive space.
"It's wedged in a crack."
The red-skinned woman grunted as she yanked on the AK to free it from the crack, and as it came loose, The pressure of the strap around my chest and shoulder released. I dropped several inches before I caught myself, and Amrilla yelped with momentary fear as she was carried forward with me, and for a second, I was holding up both of our weights. "Fuck!" I spat, and my arms began to tremble with the effort.
"Sorry!"
the horned woman said in a strained voice. She must have found a handhold, because I felt her supporting her own weight, and I continued to work my way down the hole. At the bottom, there was enough room for me to right myself once I was on the ground, and I turned around and helped Amrilla get down out of the hole. There still wasn't much room, though, so as Amrilla came headfirst out of the hole, we were pressed against each other, and it was difficult to find appropriate handholds along the Zenkari woman's body as I helped her to the ground. There was a moment where I had to turn my head, and her incredibly tight ass was pressed against my cheek. But the most awkward moment came when the horned woman was out of the hole and straightened up to stand. Amrilla basically was forced to climb up me, and her face briefly brushed against my crotch as she pulled herself upright. Then our faces were barely an inch apart, and she looked me in the eyes with a mischievous smile.
"Do you like this as much as I do?"
she whispered, and I had to fight not to blush. "Now is not the time for that," I chuckled, but I was a little embarrassed by the red-skinned woman's frank expression.
"Then later,"
she chuckled.
"Partner."
There was another tight opening just behind me, and I took off my backpack and the AK to get through it. Then, as I tried to maneuver my arms to get my gear out, I had to press my body even harder against Amrilla, and I felt as she snaked one of her arms around me to grab my ass and give it a squeeze. "You're making this harder, Amrilla," I groaned.
"I'm making you hard?"
she teased, as she wiggled her crotch into mine. "Fuck," I moaned. "You really want to do this now? We are trapped in this tunnel."
"I want you in my tunnel, Eddie,"
she panted in my ear, and then she slowly ran the tip of her tongue over my earlobe. An electric shock of pleasure ran down my spine from my ear to my crotch, and my cock somehow got harder. "Look," I whispered against her warm neck, "let's just get through this, okay?"
"Okay,"
she sighed.
"You're no fun. Well, now you aren't. Promise you'll be fun later?"
"I promise."
"Good."
The horned woman let go of my ass and grabbed my AK and backpack for me as I started to push through the crevice sideways. I had to suck my gut in with everything I had, but I finally got through and breathed a sigh of relief as I came out into the side of a larger tunnel. I could see the tool marks on the wall, which meant this tunnel had been made and would lead somewhere. Or so I hoped. Amrilla handed me the backpack and rifle before she squeezed herself through the large crack, but she was small and thin, and it wasn't nearly as difficult for her as it had been for me. I took a deep breath and was glad to be out of the tight space, but as I looked around, this tunnel was indistinguishable from any other in the gloom. "Where the hell are we?" I asked the black-eyed woman.
"I'm not sure,"
she replied, as she too looked around.
"But we can't be far from the Great Forest. We just have to pick a direction and hope it leads to where we want to go."
It was a matter of choosing left or right, and praying it was the path back toward the surface and my worried wife back home.